Hey, Bill. How are you?
Just push that button right in front of you. There you go.
Clint, Steve, Michael. All right. How you doing?
All right. So how do you look back at one of those, Bill, where you had a phenomenal second half, a phenomenal 8 minutes both on offense and defense, and yet you gave up so much in that first half? How do you look at that, back at that one?
Oh, we just weren't good enough. We just didn't do anything well enough to win.
It's just amazing to see so many mistakes early on in this football game, and yet you were there at the end with an opportunity to win it. You just very, well, as they said historically, you just don't see games like that.
Well, we did some good things, and we did some things not so good, and just too many things that weren't good enough.
How do you prepare? I know you guys look at everything. How do you prepare for weather conditions like that when you don't have them during the week? But it seemed like a couple of guys, Ridley and Vereen in particular, were thrown off by the conditions. How do you prepare for those conditions during the week?
Well, we practice in whatever we practice in. So we practiced in wet weather before, maybe not this week, but in other weeks, played out at Seattle. So it's a cumulative effect. Some days it's windy out there, some days it's sunny, some days it's cold, some days it's raining. So you know, over the course of time, I think eventually you get something that you've worked in.
And I've asked you this before. I think I know how you feel about it, but I'll ask you anyway. You don't believe that should ever be an excuse, even if it's raining, if it's snowing. I mean, that's just the hand you've been dealt, and you got to figure out a way to deal with it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we're playing in the same conditions they are. So,
were you surprised it was a factor for those guys? If you even think it was a factor, that went into the fumbles from Vereen and from Ridley.
Oh well, I think there's no question. Walking out there in pregame warmups, that you knew this was a game that was going to be the ball security was going to be a factor in the game. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that, and it was. They had issues with it. We had issues with it. And on our end, that we need to minimize those, obviously.
You had two huge swings where things went so bad that you're down 31-3, and then things turn around, you tie the game up. Can you feel those swings as they're happening, or see anything that initiates the swings, good or bad, one way or the other? Does it ever seem like it's, I guess, snowballing for one reason or the other?
I don't know. I think we try to look at it as just, you know, playing one play at a time. I mean, I don't think you can play any more than that. Maybe you can look ahead to the next call or something like that. But for the most part, you just got to go out there and play one play at a time. And as long as you have enough time, if you can string enough good plays together, then maybe you can, you know, bring things back to where it's competitive. So we were able to do that, but it's I mean, I don't think you can think too much down the road. I think you've got to think about what can we do in this series, what can we do with this possession, what can we do with this play, and make that a good play, and then move on and make the next one a good one.
So you never have, say, offensively or defensively, a certain call that you might have in your back pocket that say, okay, I need to stem the tide this way, or I need to turn the tide with this play. There's nothing out there that you say, okay, boom, we can use this play because I know it's gonna have the desired effect.
Well, I think in that case, it's a situational play. You probably have a couple of those in every game. Mm-hmm. That you have calls offensively, defensively, in the kicking game that are, if the situation's right, if it's, you know, maybe it's something you've worked on, you haven't used all year or haven't used in a while, and then you would come to that if the situation unfolded that way.
Right.
I think those are definitely in play. But that's one play, and it has to kind of be the right time, right situation, or approximately what you're looking for. But yeah, need a play, and here's what we have, and this is something we've worked on, sure.
Fourth and two situation. You go for it, and it looked as if they were giving the space to Woodhead. You needed 2 yards, and yet it seemed to be a deeper pattern. Was that a communication mess up, just a overthrown pass? What happened there?
Well, obviously, we didn't execute the play quite the way we wanted to. So say that about a lot of plays last night.
Chris Collinsworth said something during the game. I'm sure you weren't plugged into the broadcast of Collinsworth and Michaels, but he did say, he said, sometimes the worst thing is to sit around all week and hear how you're going to win the Super Bowl. And last week, the rave reviews were coming in after the Houston win. Do you ever get concerned about that? Are you concerned about your team being exposed to so many people in the media? We got, you know, ESPN on here, NFL Network, WEEI, people going on and on about how great the team is. Do you get concerned about managing that and telling your team just to block out all the talking heads? Can it be a factor?
Yeah, sure. No, we talk about that. I mean, all that talk doesn't really mean anything one way or the other. I mean, good or bad doesn't really mean anything, so... I don't think it shouldn't affect us. We should try not to let it affect us. I'm not saying guys don't hear it or are aware of it, but it doesn't have anything to do with the outcome of the game. It just, so it shouldn't be important. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter.
You always emphasize special teams and how important it is in the game, and it seemed to be ultra-important last night. Just look at the field position you had versus what they had. Including, of course, the 62-yard return late in the game, the penalties on the punts. Were you disappointed in your special teams last night?
Yeah, as I said, I didn't think that we performed well enough in any area. Coaching, playing, offense, defense, special teams, running game, passing game, you name it. We just didn't play up to the level that we need to play to, that we have played to, or that I think we're capable of playing to. And coaching too, so we just wasn't good enough. So no, yeah, it wasn't good enough in any area. You can bring up whatever you want. I'm going to say the same thing about all of them. So that's the way it was.
Are you getting enough out of your kickoff returns with Devin McCourty right now?
Well, I mean, again, it's a team thing. So collectively, we need to do a better job. We're working on it. We've had our moments, but it's certainly room for improvement.
You said it wasn't good enough in any area of the game or in coaching. How would it show itself in coaching? What could you guys have done better as a coaching staff if you didn't feel like it was good enough, just in terms of preparing the team for what San Francisco was bringing to the table?
Yeah, sure. I mean, coaching better, maybe that leads to better execution, playing better. I mean, there's always things that you can look back on and say we could do differently or do better. And I'd say when you lose a game like we lost last night, I don't know how you could not feel like that as a coach. I mean, how would you expect a coach to feel? Great job.
No, I wouldn't expect that.
Well, nobody feels that way. Right. They don't feel that way. So we all feel like we could have done something a little bit better. I mean, I think that's a competitive human nature that you want on your team. I mean, I don't know how you could feel anything other than that.
We had a call earlier. I promised I'd bring it up and ask you the question. I wanted to know about the pressure on first down on the play that Crabtree took for a touchdown to give him a 38-31 lead. What was the logic of blitzing there in that situation? What was the desired result? Just trying to... Was it surprising them, or was it that pressure had worked earlier and you felt like...
Yeah, it was something that we had done at other points in the game. And we mixed our calls up, and they made a good play on it. We certainly didn't work out the way we thought it would, but I don't know, it was one play of many and one of several that wasn't a real good one for us, unfortunately.
Well, we've seen a lot of the negatives all over, but... Are there any positives to take away from this game? Anything that that your team can use to get better?
Well, I think every game we've played, I think there are positive and negatives in every game, no matter how the game turned out, win or loss. Things you do well, you reemphasize. You talk about the reason why those things went well, the techniques, the execution, the adjustments, whatever it happened to be. And the things that don't work out as well, you correct those mistakes and hope that with that situation or anything similar to that comes up again, that you'll be able to execute it better the next time. So there are a lot of plays that were good.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there were too many plays that weren't so good.
You basically approach the analytical part of good plays or bad plays the same way. How, why, what, in those terms, everything's pretty much analyzed the same way?
Well, I mean, you know as well as I do, there are good plays, and there are parts of those plays sometimes that aren't good.
Right.
But it turns out to be a good play. There are other plays that are bad plays, but there are parts of those plays that are good, that are done well. But there was one breakdown along the way or two breakdowns along the way, whatever it was. So, you know, the result isn't good, but some of the parts of the play may be good. They may be very good.
Right.
So it's a question of getting it all put together or all executed properly, whatever the particular situation is. So just because the play didn't turn out well doesn't mean there wasn't anything good about it. I mean, it might have been that, but not necessarily, or vice versa. We've had plenty of good plays where I'd say we've gotten away with something because either they weren't in the right thing to take advantage of it or, you know, whatever it happened to be.
Sure.
We didn't really do it right, but it didn't show up because, you know, we were able to make the play, but there's another part of the play that wasn't executed well or coached well or whatever it happens to be, and we need to get that fixed because the next time it could be a problem. So, I think that happens. That's every week. That's almost every play.
Right.
You threw a challenge flag on the almost Ted Ginn fumble, or maybe it was a Ted Ginn fumble or not, muff on the punt return. I saw one angle where I was convinced that it did touch him, and then there were a couple of other angles that looked like he missed it. Did you have an angle that you felt was definitive and you saw the ball touch, I think, his shin or his sock or something?
Oh, well, it was a real close play, and I think it was a big play. So, it's a real close play.
So in a situation,
but it's worth challenging. Yeah,
right. It just this, even if you don't see it or not, in that situation in the game where you can get possession, it's just statistically, percentage wise, it's the right time to throw the flag.
Well, that plus, I mean, I thought that the ball did hit him. Myself, and that was out there live, looking at some of the replays. I still think it might have. I mean, it's a very close play. So, but in the end, it was determined that the ball didn't hit him. So, I mean, yeah, we have to accept that. That's what the call ended up being. But I thought that it was. I thought that there was some evidence that it did hit him, but that. That wasn't the ruling, so that's why we challenge it, because we thought that there was contact between the returner and the ball, but it was ruled that there wasn't. So,
and it looked like there was a change of direction. You couldn't see the contact with his leg. It seemed to be mass confusion out there. In your postgame press conference, you basically said that in the end, Ed Hockley got it and the crew got it correct. But why was there so much confusion out there?
Well, I think they made a mistake procedurally in the way they marked it, and that's kind of where they got messed up. And then once they were able to sort it out, they ended up doing the right thing. But I think that they made a mistake in the initial process of the play. And then once I challenged it, then they recognized that mistake and made the ruling on the ball not hitting the returner. That was their ruling, and spotted the ball. And it was, I think it all ended up where it should have ended up, assuming that the ball didn't hit Ginn. If you say, okay, well, the ball didn't hit him, then I think where it was spotted, where the way it ended up was 100% accurate. After all was said and done, but certainly there was some process there. And even when they spotted the ball, they had to re-spot it 5 yards closer to our goal line because it was misspotted after they had sorted it all out. They, Harbaugh recognized that they misspotted. Well, but when it was done, I think they finally got it right.
Yeah, you said after all was said and done. A lot was said
in
the process before we actually got something
done. We always read lips.
It was confusing. I mean, it was just confusing. It was just so much, like, okay, and he explained it. It's almost like he made it worse.
But you had both coaches upset, too. So that's why in the number 57, which didn't make any sense either.
I'm not upset about it now. I think it was... Again, they have to make the call. Did the ball hit him or didn't hit him? We thought it did, but they said it didn't. So, okay, that's the ruling. But the way it finally came out, I have no issues with them finally getting it right.
Bill, you had a situation where Brady hurried up the offense because obviously he saw that one of his receivers was uncovered out there, and a timeout was called. It almost seemed like it was after the snap. Brady seemed very upset about it, hit the ball down. How late can you call it in that situation?
It has to be prior to the snap.
Was that prior to the snap?
It's close. It's a close call. Of course, you know, the head coach can call timeout at any time, and he just has to notify the official on his sideline. And if the official hears the timeout before the ball snapped, then time's out. Whether he actually gets a chance to blow his, you know, and all that. I mean, that's a procedural thing, but it's no different than icing the kicker and those type of situations. That if the official on the sideline gets the timeout signal from the head coach prior to the snap of the ball, then he'll rule it as a timeout.
See, I'm wondering if it affects you guys probably more than most teams, so that you're in that hurry-up offense, the goal line, where they were setting up for the quarterback sneak, and he hands off to Woodhead. You up the tempo right there, and they really weren't ready for that play. So that is a big part of your offense. Does that hurt when they're coming out there getting that timeout and the official's giving it to them?
Well, if they call it before the ball snapped, they're entitled to do that, you know, three times a half.
Yeah, this one almost looked like it was after the snap, the one that
Well, again, it was after the snap, then it's after the snap. But if it's before the snap, then they're entitled to do it. So that's the official's judgment. I can't make that judgment. The official has to make that. I think that for the most part, they try to, they try to do the right thing. I've certainly done that before, and the official said, you just didn't get it in time. The ball was already snapped. And then there's other times that I've gotten it, and, it's a timeout. Sometimes it's very close there, and a lot of times that's what you're looking for. You know, you see that on the sideline. You see that we have a problem with the play that maybe they don't, we don't see defensively, or the quarterback doesn't see, or the clock's running down, the 40 seconds, whatever it is. And sometimes as a coach on the sideline, you just – take that time out to try to prevent what you see is happening that you kind of don't like. And if you don't get it before the ball snapped, then you don't get it. If you do, then you do.
It's time now for the coach's question of the week. Bill, this week's question comes from Steve in Weston. He wants to know, when did you realize that Tom Brady could be such a weapon in short yardage situations? He says he's guessing that wasn't part of his skill set in college.
Well, I think the big thing with Tom is his judgment and his decision making, and I would say that was good in college. I mean, obviously, he's not going to run 4-4 and run and make break tackles in the open field. But as far as making the right decisions on what to do if we have an option of a play on the line of scrimmage or sneaking and that type of thing, that he does a pretty good job of finding the hole and getting the ball for the yardage that we need to get. And I think he's very good at that.
Sure, make a pretty good open field tackle yesterday. I don't know.
Leave that to the professionals.
Like you.
Right? No, that was
exactly.
Exactly.
You find, do you find them funny? Do you find the jokes funny at all? Yeah.
Just trying to lighten up the mood here today, boys. That's all. Okay. Good luck down in Jacksonville on Sunday. Have a very, very Merry Christmas to you and yours. And we'll catch you back here soon.
All right, likewise. Sounds good. Thanks.
You got it, Bill.